When we're meditating, meditate for short periods of time. Many people are still very involved in all of their work activities, and so don't meditate for such long periods, but meditate more regularly. As soon as we think of meditating, meditate. As soon as we think of meditating again, meditate. In the beginning, the meditation might be quite difficult because we have been so busy with all of these worldly activities, and in this respect, we have a lot of energy and we're able to apply ourselves very well. But as soon as we start to meditate, we find that our mind is very weak. And then we feel that we're not able to progress in our practice. The mantras are not benefiting us. And as soon as we just think about meditating, we don't want to meditate. These types of states of mind might arise. When this happens, don't worry. It's the same with our children, isn't it? They must learn Chinese, Tibetan, and in the beginning, they don't want to learn, do they? And so the parents push them to learn and to study. And then eventually they find that they're able to go to university. And this process, many of us have experienced also. And so too, with attaining spiritual attainments, we need to go through this process. However, as long as we keep going, we keep on being diligent, and we pray to the Guru, our deity, it really is very beneficial. It has a lot of energy and a lot of blessing. When it is not very easy is when we are blindly trying to attain Buddhahood. Just like sometimes children, they might be very conscientious, but they feel that they haven't made any progress. However, if they keep on going diligently for a long time, then we start to see, oh, they really progress and they have a lot of hope in the end. Similarly, while we're practicing, there are going to be difficulties. For a sentient being to attain Buddhahood, of course, there will be obstacles and difficulties. Just like children go through a lot of hardships to be able to go to university, similarly, through practicing and wishing to attain Buddhahood from a sentient being, there are going to be difficulties. However, these difficulties then become the opportunities for practice. Irrespective of whether they are external or they are afflictive emotions, mental difficulties, pray to the Guru. Pray to the three jewels. Repent all of our past negative karma. Similarly, if we have physical ailments, then repent. Visualize Vajrasattva. And we say, is this not a very long time? You can say it's a long time. We can also say it's a short time. Within a few decades, really, we can transform. We can be completely different. And as long as we practice diligently, we support bodhicitta, compassion, these teachings that we have learnt, that we've practiced, then we really have a lot of hope. We can attain liberation, enlightenment. And in terms of doing this, then once we have finished practicing the outer and inner preliminaries, then really we should apply ourselves in great perfection. Because in terms of lineages, this lineage of ours is very pure. And then with respect to the students, in terms of your practice, master your practice is better. When does our practice start? Because we are listening to teachings, we are meditating, we are reciting mantras. And in the beginning, our mind might be all over the place, very scattered. And then we ask, may I practice, may I recite mantras when my mind is so scattered? Of course we can, just like when we are studying normally. For a moment we're studying, and then we're thinking other things, and then we're studying, and then we think of other things. But still, we are able to study things. However, the best way to practice in terms of Buddhism is to first bring our mind to calm abiding. Why are we practicing reciting mantras, the preliminaries, studying texts, is to reduce our negative karma, in order to purify our negative karma and to open up our wisdom. And then afterwards, after we've done a lot of studying, then we will understand all of the reasons. However, we still find that in able to apply it in our daily life, we're still not able to do this. And why is this? It's because we haven't practiced. We might understand everything in theory, however, in reality, we are not able to apply it. What do we need now? We really need to apply ourselves in practice. Without the practice, we find we don't have the realization, and then we find we're not able to transform these afflictive emotions. And we find it very difficult to transform our negative habits. It's very difficult to face them. What is the best method for us to be able to face these habits and afflictions? Is through meditative concentration. What is this meditative concentration? The state of mind of yours that you have when you meditate. When we begin practicing, don't practice more than 15 minutes or 20 minutes. And in this time, we might find that for all of the time, we're not able to bring our mind to calm abiding. And sometimes also, it's only until that near the end of the meditation, we find that our mind starts to calm down. And this is okay. You know, in the beginning, you see that your mind won't settle down. And then afterwards, it does settle down. And yes, we're getting some result. If we find this is happening, then what do? Don't meditate for too long a time. More meditations, but for shorter times for each session. And when you're practicing, recite the Guru Yoga text. Do the four empowerments. Practice like this. Practice perfectly, according to the procedures. And then for maybe 5 minutes or 10 minutes, your mind can calm down. And when our mind is settled down, we find that all of these afflictive emotions and all of these habits are really much weaker. However, when we first start, it might not be so apparent. It won't be when we first start that all of a sudden, all of these afflictive emotions and habits just settle down. However, if we practice every day diligently, then within 3 or 4 weeks, we will see, oh, there is a difference. Notice, oh, in the beginning, it was really difficult for my mind to calm down and settle down. Now it has settled down. However, I still see that there is still a lot of subtle conceptuality, discriminations. And when this happens, also, don't be anxious. Occasionally, pray to the Guru. And when not praying to the Guru, abide in calm abiding. Alternate like this. When we really look, we see, oh, all of these thousands of afflictive emotions, these random thoughts are coming from our mind. And they also subside in my mind. Continue practicing like this, alternating between praying to the Guru and resting in calm abiding. And then in normal daily life, repent more, recite the Sutra of Great Liberation. Because these afflictive emotions and these discriminatory thoughts are not settling down as a result of our negative karma. These discriminatory thoughts, these random thoughts, these are a type of karmic obstacle. And as a result of these conceptual thoughts and these random thoughts, we see that our mind is not able to settle down. And in this case, what is the best method for us to be able to resolve this issue of all of these discriminatory thoughts, these discursive thoughts? Then the best way to repent this is the 7 points of Varatana, the 9 Buddha breaths, praying to the Guru, make the aspiration of bodhicitta, and gradually through these methods, let these state of mind gradually settle down. And then after meditating for a long time, one might find that one's mind is very clear. It has a lot of clarity. It is very pure. And there are no discursive thoughts. And then what might happen is that we start to attach to this clarity. How many students have come to me and said, Rinpoche, there was this one time that I really had when meditating this incredible clarity, but when I tried to achieve it again, it just never came back again. Our true nature of mind is inherently this clear, this pure. However, because of all our past karma in our alaya consciousness, there are all of these residues that are left within there. Just like when we are drinking water, to purify it, we put it through a filter, and then this is the purest water. Similarly, when we are meditating, there might be many, many subtle arising discursive random thoughts that don't allow our mind to settle down. We might not be thinking about what was happening in our daily lives. However, there might be a lot of subtle thoughts that are going on that we don't notice. And in this case, just as it also says in the Sutra of Great Liberation, pray to your root guru. Sometimes loudly expel pit, and by expelling pit, what it does is it cuts through these random thoughts. And all of this practice takes time, it's a process. And when we get in conclusion to a state where we, whenever we want, we're able to settle down and abide in calm abiding. And then in this state, whenever you want, you will be aware, oh, a random thought has arisen. Immediately, we'll be aware that this thought has arisen. For instance, maybe I want to go outside and I want to go look for some new clothes. Or what am I going to cook to eat tonight? A thought, what am I going to do later? As soon as any of these thoughts arise, immediately you will be aware of this. When our mind is very clear, is very pure, we will be aware very quickly. Our awareness is there. However, if we have many arising thoughts, discursive thoughts, maybe our awareness is not really present. There might be these subtle discursive thoughts arising, and we have some awareness. However, our awareness is not that sharp. Just like maybe when it is getting dark, but it's not dark yet. Feeling a little bit unclear. We might think, oh, I've come to calm abiding. However, there still are these subtle arising thoughts, these discursive thoughts, discrimination arising. Then don't be anxious. Think, what is the state of mind when these discriminatory thoughts aren't arising? Sometimes when we're meditating, there might be some influence of the environment, of our state of mind, our body. And sometimes we might be in a very pure state of mind, a state of mind that all of the phenomena seem to be one with you, and they don't influence our six senses at all. We might also have this experience, and also then don't be anxious. Sometimes when the environment is good, our state of mind is good, our body is feeling good, then very easily we can enter into the state of calm abiding. In this case, meditate for a longer time. Experience the state of mind that is beyond these afflictive emotions. And sometimes our meditation might not be going so well. We might feel like somebody who can't swim, who falls into a lake and they don't know what to do. We may have many afflictions, not a good state of mind. Might feel like we're trying to meditate, but we're not meditating at all. It seems like we're just getting more afflictive emotions and random thoughts. We might even think that I have less afflictions when I'm not meditating. Remember that this is not permanent. These are just temporary feelings and experiences. If the feelings are complicated or the feelings seem quite good, remember they are just feelings. We might think I've got no chance of attaining enlightenment. My mind is so complicated. My mind is so full of negative emotions. In this case, don't be concerned, don't be afraid. Then what do? We pray to the Guru and then we apply our pith instructions. If when our mind is like this, we try and we're not able to abide in Rigpa, we're not able to abide in a state of calm abiding. Why? Because our mind is really disturbed. Then we apply the pith instructions. Maybe it is to visualize a lotus or a doji or a colored dot, and then visualize this pith instruction that the Guru has given you in your heart center. Why? Because no matter what you're trying to do, you're not able to abide in calm abiding. Don't be concerned. What you can do then is you put your attention on an object, maybe for instance a crystal. And why? Because really I'm not able to bring my mind to calm abiding. Then what I'll do is I'll put all my attention, only think of one thing, put my mind on this crystal. And then let your mind calm down. And in this way, much easier to bring our mind to calm abiding. If we don't do this, then there's no way we might be able to abide in Rigpa. Don't force your mind. And then just gradually you look at this crystal and you put your attention on the crystal. And then you might find after 3 or 4 minutes later, oh, this very disturbed mind has now calmed down. This is the purpose of Pith instructions. Do you understand? And then we might be able to abide very clearly for a while, and then suddenly, oh, why is it that I can't settle down and notice that there are a lot of discursive, subtle thoughts? Then don't be anxious and try and abide in Rigpa. Go back to keeping your attention on the object. Once again, place your attention, your eyes on the lotus or the crystal, and then place all your concentration together and look at the object of your meditation. And then meditate like this. And like this, gradually, relaxed, observe, put your attention on the crystal. Eyes and attention placed on the crystal. And while we're doing this, sometimes we might want to blink or move our eyes. And people say, don't move, it's okay, you can do this. If you need to, swallow saliva. Be natural, don't be so anxious. Most important is you put your attention on the crystal, on the object of meditation, and gradually apply this Pith instruction. Just relaxed, putting your attention on the object of your meditation. And then apply this Pith instruction, and then when your mind is in calm abiding again, then rest in this state. And very naturally, you'll be able to abide. Because right now, if we very rapidly want to bring our mind to calm abiding, we are not able to. Some students, if they immediately want to abide in Rigpa, they're not able to because they're too anxious. Don't be like this. When we want to climb the mountain, we don't immediately climb the mountain. We go for a while and then we stop for a while, we rest, we drink some water. And gradually we get higher and higher on the mountain. So we see the Pith instructions are methods for us to transform. We might notice, right now my mind is very complicated. And it's really not able to settle down. So then what we can do is we can place a picture of Amitabha in front of us. And then put your attention on Amitabha. And by doing this, then you see, my mind starts to settle down. If what you do is you first bring your mind to calm abiding, and then to abide in Rigpa is much easier. Like when you're climbing a mountain, if at first you during the process, you take a rest, you drink some water, then it's going to be easier to continue. So that's why when we start meditating, why is it that we start with giving rise to bodhicitta, we do the 9 Buddha breaths, we pray to the Guru? It is because through these methods, we can gradually bring our mind to calm abiding. And then eventually, we are able to abide in Rigpa. Doesn't mean that just because you immediately start that you'll immediately be able to abide in Rigpa. This is not the case. In this way, we might not be successful, and we don't have to do it like this. And so in terms of realizing Rigpa, gradually first we must bring our mind to calm abiding, and then when it's pure, very naturally and easily, we'll just abide in Rigpa. For instance, if we are looking or observing the crystal in front of us, then occasionally we might be in Rigpa. And you're just naturally abiding, observing the crystal. Why? Because all of these afflictive emotions and discursive thoughts have subsided. Your eyes might be looking at the crystal, but your mind might be already abiding in Rigpa. It can happen. And so sometimes Rigpa can be a very subtle thing. It might be just to some environment or some situation that just suddenly you find you're just abiding in Rigpa. It can be very subtle. However, when you're trying to purposefully do it, forcefully do it, give ourselves all kinds of requirements, and then we find we're not able to abide in Rigpa. First, pray to the Guru, and then gradually let the mind settle down. If you're not able to settle down, why is it that we are transmitting pith instructions? Because without them, there's no way we would be able to abide in an objectless state. For instance, in the state of clarity, we won't be able to continue abiding in it. What are these instructions doing? First is we're taking the scattered mind that is always projecting externally, bringing it home. And then the second pith instruction is bring your mind to calm abiding. It's not as if your first pith instruction is abide in Rigpa. If you can do this, then you are a higher level student immediately. Don't think like this. The first pith instruction is bring your mind home. The second pith instruction, bring your mind to calm abiding. And then the third pith instruction is bring stability in this calm abiding. One by one, again, improve, increase your time of meditation so that the quality of your meditation becomes better and better. And one's mind will become purer and purer. Just like the example of the crystal. Our eyes might be looking at the crystal, but at the same time, it might be that our mind has entered into the state of Rigpa, and simultaneously, we are abiding in Rigpa. And really, these pith instructions are very, very important. Without these pith instructions, the first is that our mind wouldn't come to calm abiding. The second is we wouldn't be able to bring it home. And if we can't do this, then the third is that we have no way to recognize our true nature of mind, Rigpa. And so what we have here is many pith instructions to bring our mind home and pith instructions to bring our mind to calm abiding. And then pith instructions which help us to gradually make our mind more and more pure, calm. And then some pith instructions that within the state of purity, we are able to recognize our true nature of mind. And then after that, we have pith instructions which help us to support the true nature of mind. And then finally, while abiding in the true nature of mind, we have the four modes of liberation. Liberation through bare attention, liberation as soon as it arises, self-liberation, and primordial liberation. And pith instructions to help us with all of these. And so we really have very useful pith instructions. You see, we may have studied and learned many, many, many years of Buddhism. However, if we don't have these very special pith instructions, look now. Has our mind come to calm abiding? For some of these students, their mind hasn't even been brought home. Never even mind recognizing Rigpa. And these are all these great pith instructions that we find in the great perfection in Maha Mudra. And these we will only receive from our Vajra Guru. It's not as if we receive them through empowerments and listening to the teachings. And that through this suddenly our mind calms down. It doesn't matter how many auspicious empowerments of great perfection I give you, it still won't bring your mind to calm abiding. And so too, if I recite lineage prayers to you, it won't bring your mind to calm abiding. And so too, if you do years and years of diligent study, it won't happen. Why? Because we need these very special pith instructions to bring our mind to calm abiding. And so these are the supreme pith instructions of the great perfection.